As we face life from day to day, the scripture talks in regard to our resisting temptation. Scarcely had Jesus begun the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, but what he referred to this particular part of the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. The Lord's Prayer is not this particular one. The disciples' prayer is this one. And it's the idea that you pray that you might not enter into temptation. And the ideas of it is the thought in mind, forgive us our trespasses and we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Notice it is noted there in that regard that we're to be people who really pray about that matter. And if we'll be people who pray about temptations in life, we're told by Jesus later in his ministry, we would have victory over the temptations that we face. In Matthew 26 at verse 41, Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit of a man will be willing to follow God and do what's right and go to heaven when this life is over. That's the spirit of man. Anyone who has a background in ways of believing in God at all has that goal in mind, that idea in mind. But there are temptations along the way. And he says, in regard to facing those temptations, do the following. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. By watching, I'll see up ahead what has tempted me before. I'll recognize that which tempted me before. If it's a certain movie on the television, if it's a certain place on the internet, if it's a certain individual that comes to the car I'm riding in, if it's a certain individual who is a part of my daily walk on the playground. That temptation will be there because I recognize that that is forthcoming. Watch about it. Watch where my steps go. Watch what I'm doing. Watch what I'm saying. Guard myself from repeating the things that are said to me. Guard myself against anger that was resisting this ways of life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, when the wise man said, use soft answers, or that is, use answers that are really gentle. Use gentle answers. He said, use soft answers. That indeed we'll do that to help ourselves rather than grievous words that stir up anger. Grievous words will stir up us all the time. And so we will watch that to prevent this temptation. We'll go to choose the kind of words that are gentle words, that are words that give peace and joy and happiness and do not create anger. It is a way in life that we must choose to do. When Jesus there in Matthew 26 said, watch, be watchful, he told us to be watchful. He wants us to do that. And be a person of prayer. Be a person of prayer in regard to the temptation that we're facing in that context. It's one thing to pray in regard to others. It's another thing to pray in regard to the things of our government and our families and life. But it's a real specific thing that we get in mind when we pray about our temptation with which we struggle. When we pray about that which comes up, we pray about the people who bring it. We pray about the circumstances that bring it. And we want to avoid that temptation. As a result, we begin to pray about that. And pray that we might be delivered from that temptation. And as a result of that, we'll find more and more strength comes to us. More and more opportunities come to us to avoid that temptation and not to enter into that way of life. When we talk about our ways of life, we need to talk about the Word of God. Listen to the passage back in Psalm 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is strong, making wise the simple. Let's be people then who follow that which is strong and that which is good, that which is complete in converting the soul. What is it? It's the Word of God. Obviously, I'm going the wrong way. I'm doing the wrong thing. I've still got plenty of husk in my life. We talk about converted rice. Talk about converted wheat. We're talking about that which has the husk removed. It's ready to be cooked. in a boiler. It's ready to be softened up by hot water. It's ready to be put on the plate and then put some shrimp on top of it or some vegetables on top of it or whatever it is you choose to put on top of that. And you have a wonderful, wonderful, succulent meal. So it is, the Word of God will convert a soul. It will take the husk away from it. It will cause us to be so thankful that we have the forgiveness of God to come into our lives. So thankful that we have the hope of the soul to rest within us. As a result, that temptation will be removed. We'll find that in time we go back to that ways of life. What we'll do with it though is we realize we sin. And in 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of our sins if we confess our sins to Him. And so we confess, Lord, I've been weak in this matter. I have failed in this matter. I've yielded in this matter. Please forgive me of that, and we will find the forgiveness of God comes into our hearts and lives. We will rest upon the assurance of this God who said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. I'm faithful and just to forgive you. I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you will confess to me, if you will realize what's going on. So the conversion of the Lord will take the husk out of our lives. We'll be people who are gentle in our ways. We'll realize when we've gone back to a way of wrongdoing. And we'll call upon God in that prayer to forgive us. And His promise is to be faithful and just and to forgive us from all unrighteousness. Not only that, He promises to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will cleanse us from that way. As a result, we find ourselves being able to be utilized and helpful in God's kingdom and in God's work. Think about a young man. And in Psalms 19 and beginning verse 12, 119 and verse 12 is a beautiful verse to a young man. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, he says, unto thy word. I don't need to be a person who just has it read to me. I don't need to be a person who just sometimes gets around to read a verse and say, I'm done. I don't need to be a person who practices reading a verse and reading it all the way through without thinking about it. I really need to read with thought in mind. And that's what he's saying here in the Psalm 119 verse 112. Wherewithal shall a young man, he's making every effort along the way to be the kind of person he ought to be. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word. When somebody takes heed to it, that means that they begin to practice that way of life. They want to do what that master has urged them to do. You and I on the farm, we remember the days which we didn't exactly hoe the garden like we should have. Mama said, you don't waste any time when you file the hoe. When you get to the field, you stop and you file the hoe. You don't waste any time. Because that sharp hoe will snip off those little weeds that are there. They'll cut them down so quickly. You'll be able to move on down the row fast. You'll be able to move to the end of the row sooner than you would otherwise when you're beating and banging on and tearing the root out and hurting the plant as well as the weed that's there. Just have that sharp hoe to clip it off, clip it off, clip it off. As a result of that, we're people who follow God's way in the right way. We find opportunity to really grow in the ways of the Lord. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word. He'll take heed to it. Now you and I can take heed to the way that we drive an automobile. We take heed to our speed. There are certain blue lights that are in front of us, behind us, that will remind us to really take heed to the speed that we're going at that moment of time. And how we're driving at that moment of time. We take heed to it. There's shame that there's things like that that have to happen to cause us to take heed. But aren't we grateful that we took heed to it? And that makes a difference in our lives. When we take heed according to the Word of God, we find ourselves so, so blessed. In Psalms 119, down at verse 112. He tells us the following about this. He says, when I entreat my heart with thy word, then I am blessed. What I do with that word of God, I bring it in. And as a result of bringing it in to my life, into my heart, I'm blessed. I don't go the old way I used to go. I don't say the old things I used to say. I don't do the old practices I used to do, because I have called upon God to be within that heart that I have. We find ourselves in life doing this. We find ourselves doing what Jesus said there that we mentioned earlier in Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. We're people who really follow what the Lord has said about it. We don't take it for granted. We don't take it loosely. We don't pretend it's not there at all. To the contrary, we apply ourselves to the fact that this is a weakness. This is something not right of God. This is something from which I need to be cleansed. I need to have that joy of life in serving God. Let me be a person then who follows that way of temptation, and I'll be stronger. Oh, probably not successfully stronger the first day or the first week or the first month, maybe in the first year or the first 10 years. But because I apply my heart to it, as the psalmist there says, as long as I apply my heart to it, what happens? I grow and grow and grow. We got the young people singing a song sometime, and they get into the habit of doing it. We talk about, if I have the Word of God in my life, I will be a person who grows, grows, grows. And we stand up, stand up, stand up tall. But if I don't have that in my life, I shrink, shrink, shrink. If we find ourselves growing like the Lord would have us to grow, we follow His Word and we follow His words of prayer, and I find a joy within my life. We can be successful at it. Sometimes there are individuals who decide to obey the gospel, and the decision is based upon what I have done. And the decision is, I can't do it. Well, none of us can do it by ourselves. If anyone could do it by himself, the Lord would never have needed to come and never have died for our sins upon the cross. But in His body was placed our sins. And He died upon the cross for us because we could not do it ourselves. He offered to go with us and be with us. And when we're baptized into His death, we're raised to walk a new way of life. In that new way of life, I think about where I'm going. I think about the words I'm saying. I think about the people around me. I think about the temptations that will beset me. And thus I will find myself a person watching and prayerful and overcoming that one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, sometimes 1 minute at a time. I'll be able to overcome that. You know, right now in this service, it could be well said, and I heard a preacher along the way note this one time. He said, right now you're thinking along with me, and right now, think about how pure in heart you are right now. Think about how much hope you have right now. Think about how at peace with God you can be right now should your life come to an end. Oh, there'll be some physical excitement around you if it were to come to an end at a service. I've had two men that I love deeply and deeply to pass within a service at my old Hunt congregation at Nile. Pass within that service of time. Though there's a lot of excitement around there, called an ambulance and to be ready and to do something that we can do. But physically speaking, that's the only part of it. Our spiritual people have a peace within, a strength within, a joy within. And let us face God in that hope and that joy. When we think about the book of Revelation, we think about the world coming to a close and the end of time. It is noted regarding some, Revelation 6, that they run to the mountains and they call upon the hills and the rocks, fall upon us and hide us from His wrath. If I do not become a person who's forgiven of my sins and live in peace with God, I'm going to find someday that I want something else to guard me, because this God of heaven has as much a wrath side as he has a forgiveness side. When Paul wrote to the Romans about this and said, "Behold the goodness and the severity of God," he mentions about that goodness of how God's grace reaches down to us and reaches for us and holds us and forgives us. But when he talked about the severity of God, he referred back to those days and times when the Israelites walked their way through the desert and found themselves so blessed of God, the food that they ate, the cloud that they covered them, the wonderful blessings of God, but they found themselves so entrenched in the ways of forgetting about God and going into the temptations of life and leaving God behind, that this is what happened. They found themselves suffering, and there was no answer. God led them, but when he didn't lead them, they suffered. We'll be that way too. Behold the severity of God. So let's be people then who overcome the trials and temptations of life in the way that Jesus said for us to do. In closing out today, in 1 Corinthians 9, down at verse 27, Apostle Paul said, "I buffet my body daily, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be made a castaway." Paul, what are you talking about? I'm talking about my way of life. I had so many things that happened in earlier days in my life. And I had so many trials and temptations that I faced earlier in my life. He said, "I have to beat my body every day." He just talked about how that he enters into a ring and a race and prize fights and how he goes about life. And he says, "I have to buffet my body. I have to strictly cause myself to think about what are you doing." As a result of that, I can overcome that. Because after all, I have preached to others how they ought to behave and do, how they can be relieved. I myself, at the last day, be made a castaway. God says, "No, you're my left hand. You're not on my right hand. You're my left hand. There's no hope for you." Paul said, "I'd buffet my body daily." We think of Paul as a great giant of the faith, and he is. We think of Paul as one who's faithful to the Lord. He is. But he didn't do that because he just took for granted how he was living. He did that because he took the Lord at his word. And he began to work upon himself, lest I also become a castaway. What a blessing it is to have that this is the way of the Lord for our lives. We can, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, we can overcome temptation. We can be people who have that freedom. As we sing together this morning, we stop to think about this song, and we think about how we are, and we think about our ways of life. And the words of this song are a question that really challenges us. Whatever the hour is, the day is, there are a number of men here who are willing to be of help to you and serve you in regard to being baptized into Christ. Why would you wait? Would you come as we stand, as we sing?
Why would you wait?